This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com, home of the best-tasting protein powder out there. Check them out at BlackStarLabs.com, and don't forget to mention the FitCast when you place your order. Everyone, this is the FitCast. This is episode number 171. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Jonathan Fass of acceleratedstrength.com. What's up, John?
What up, Kevin?
How you doing, John?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. I've had two spikes so far today, and I'm at that point where, like, I had that energy level and I'm starting to crash again, so
no good.
Uh-oh. You know, it's like that thing where you, if you needed energy, you could get, like, really pumped up right now, but I feel like I could fall asleep too.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. You're, like, right at the tip.
Yeah.
You're right about to jump off the cliff, but for now, you're still running towards that cliff edge.
Think irregular heartbeat.
Mm.
Think that. That's what I'm going for here.
That should be good.
I just went to a Perform Better seminar today, John.
Do tell.
I want to talk about that a little bit first. We got some thick-ass news. I should drink Spike before I do that. I drank that, like, 2 hours ago. Huh. I had one at 8 a.m. and one at 4. So that's all right. It's 8 hours apart, right? So for FitCast news, I restocked some of the shirts, women's sizes and men's mediums in gray. I got them, so place your order. New shirts are going to be going out tomorrow to the post office. Awesome. It sounds like the T-shirts are actually getting to the people overseas, which, you know, is very nice to hear. So I'm going to stick with the priority mail, and it seems to be working quite well.
Cool.
Yeah. John, did you get your T-shirt?
No.
That's right, because I didn't send you one. You should buy a T-shirt, John. Support the podcast.
Well, that was an awesome setup. Wow. Screw you.
Listen, I just picked up buying a Commander today, but I can't buy a T-shirt.
I can buy a T-shirt.
Buy a T-shirt. PayPal.
I'll buy a T-shirt. I'll buy two.
Hey, you know what? I did it last week. I'm going to do it again this week. I did it on What Up Kev. I'm going to shout out to my personal training client, Kim, who's down 10 pounds, John, in the last 3 weeks.
Very cool.
And she is, like, looking phenomenal. If you guys haven't checked out her blog and her progress pictures on the fitcast.com, you really need to do it. Like, get side by side from day one to, I guess, what happened on Monday. And I obviously have new pictures coming tomorrow, but Kim's been kicking ass and taking names, and she is definitely she started to listen to the podcast, so I have to give her a shout out.
Right.
Also, a couple of my online clients. First, Vince, who again, these guys are just like getting locked in. I don't know what it is, but they're just losing weight. I think Vince lost 4 pounds last week in his first week. Erin went on business all last week, and she ended up, like, when you go in business, you kind of have to, like, go out, you have to mingle, you have to entertain, you have to take people out for drinks and stuff like that. So, like, I have one of my personal training clients who also has that same kind of deal. He works for a company where you kind of take people out to dinner, you got to take them out for drinks, and you have to socialize. So obviously diet's not going to be fantastic when you're traveling. And she actually ended up losing a pound after being away for a week and having to go through all those meetings of having catered food and things like that. And also, I just want to mention Andrew also losing a couple pounds last week. Fantastic stuff, guys, and keep it up. You're making me proud.
Oh my god,
I'm getting verklempt. Let me give you a topic. Talk amongst yourselves. Sports Center. It's neither about sports nor a center. I don't know. That doesn't make sense. I don't know. I thought Sports Center. Probably because we were talking about Tiger Woods in the off-topic discussion. Oh, my God. I got to stop drinking that stuff. Last but not least, I want to quickly mention that we're going to be giving away a $100 TRX gift certificate.
Oh.
$100 TRX gift certificate. And to be fair, it's like $98.74.
Hmm.
So it's not exactly $100, but it's a big gift certificate that you can get off of TRX on their website. And I'm gonna be real with you guys. That's actually something that I got from people clicking through, you know, getting the TRX through the fitcast.com. So you know what? I'm going to give it right back to you guys. Like, that's how it is, you know. So someone is out there is going to get $100, quote unquote, like $98.74, TRX gift certificate that you can use at their website. And this is how we're going to do it. Next Sunday on episode 172, I'm going to announce who's going to win the gift certificate. Let's try to say that.
Yes.
So there's a couple ways you can win. A, you can post a comment on the fitcast.com on any one of the blog posts on there or for the episode. B, you can go to kevinlarabee.com and you can post a comment or anything on there. Q, you can send in a question to questions at thefitcast.com. And four, you can... You saw where I was going with that, John?
Yeah, I saw where you were going.
Just checking. And four, you can... This is going to be the big one. This is going to be the big one, guys. This is where you're going to get the most chances to get in on this. For those of you that have Twitter and Facebook, all right? For you, those of you that have Twitter and Facebook... If on your Twitter account you post a link for this week's episode 171 and tell people to check it out and make sure you use the hashtag, it's a pound sign or a number sign, and then the word FITCAST, FITCAST, in your post, I'm going to set up a search for that on my TweetDeck so I can see when everyone mentions the word FITCAST in their Twitter posts. For those of you that do that, you're going to have an entry to get in on this. And you know what? I'm going to do two things. All right. I'm going to give one of those. I'm going to give the $100 TRX gift certificate to someone that posts on either Twitter or on Facebook or by posting a comment on the website. And also, Valerie Waters. You know, I've been trying to get on the show, John.
I do know.
I've been talking with her. A package arrives in the mail this week. She sent me a couple sets of Val slides and a DVD.
Cool.
So we're going to give away a set of Val slides as well.
Sweet.
So for those of you out there, there's going to be a ton of stuff to win. So you just got to go through one of those venues. Okay?
Okay. No, yeah. Kev. If I can make a suggestion.
Please.
How about we do it this way?
Please, yeah.
It'll be like a raffle and a hat kind of thing. And this is what I propose.
Yeah. We can use those online raffle servers. You can type in all the names, and then you can hit a random one, and you get a random one. I like that.
So here you go. What I say is that they get one entry if they leave a comment on either on the FitCast or on What Up Kev.
Go on.
They get two entries if they write in a question. They get three entries apiece if they either leave feedback on iTunes or if they do the Twitter or the Facebook bounce back.
Bam, I love it.
And you can enter each one once, but you can enter all of them if that's up to you. You know, you could leave a comment, write in a question, and do a feedback and an iTunes. And you could do all of those if you want, but you can't do like a bunch of questions. Only one counts.
And I'm even going to throw in, and we'll even do a third place, a t-shirt. T-shirt of your size, color, and gender orientation.
Love it.
So that's what we're going to do, guys. And let's spread the word. Let's get it out there. And, man, we got some good stuff coming up. I'm going to tell you. I know we – personally, I just wrote an email, a newsletter that went out. I haven't sent out a newsletter in like 2 weeks about time management. I'm having problems with my time management. I had a nice little talk with Todd Durkin. I got that set up, dude. We're good to go. So we're going to be having – and also my schedule is changing at work, so it's going to allow me to make sure I can schedule in. It's going to be more regular, so we can get those guys that you guys want to hear from, like trying to get Alan Aragon back on. Nick Tumanello, who I might actually be talking tonight. If not tonight, I'm going to be talking to him this Wednesday. All right? And one of the things that John and I talked about on the phone before the show today is that I would like to do a just talk and shop. You know, we might take some questions or some ideas for like topic ideas, but it's going to be like, you know what? I want to call up John Berardi, I would be like, all right, John, let's be real. Let's talk. Okay, what's changed with your nutrition stuff in the last 6 months? Like, what's piqued your interest? John, what have you been doing with your clients? Well, John, what have you been doing personally? You know, John, what have you been looking at in terms of training? Where do you think training is going to be going the next 5 years? Same thing with nutrition. What's catching on? What have you been seeing that is starting to, you know, make a difference in people's nutrition and diet? Like, I'm going to do that stuff. Like, I just been, I don't know, this whole, these last couple of days, like, ideas have been flowing and this thing's going to be growing. It's rhymed, man. It's rhymed.
Wow.
Yeah, so either that or I'm just going to stop doing this and I'm going to start trying to submit demos to Def Jam Records.
Sweet.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
That's a good fallback plan.
Fallbacks, guys. You got to have fallbacks. Yeah. So that's that. And I love you guys sending in requests for guests. And, you know, we've had Todd Durkin on that a couple times. I'm trying to get him. I've talked with his assistant and we're seeing if we can set something up and. Same thing. I really was bummed. I actually brought my obviously my iPhone with me, but you can record stuff on that. And I was going to try to get some interviews with some guys at the seminar today, but you know how it is. Like, you get to a seminar and then when these guys go to Perform Better seminars, they're literally superstars. Like, everyone knows them. Like Mike, after his presentation, there was a group of 20 people that went up there to talk to him. You know, like, it's hard to get a minute to grab these guys and talk with them. But, you know, I'm talking into my microphone, but if I could turn my microphone and you could see what's up on my wall, I get a list of people that I've been trying to get. Also, Jason Ferrugia, just talked to last week. He's coming on for an interview. I know we've been trying to get him for a while, but we're going to be doing it. And again, hopefully I'm going to get that done next week and we'll just kind of save him so we make sure we give you guys one a week. I don't want to spoil you rotten. I don't want to do that because that's why, you know, after Halloween, mom only lets you have one piece of candy that night. You get that one piece of candy a night. You don't get to eat the whole bag. Otherwise, you'll get sick.
You really sound like you're on crack right now.
I really had two spikes today, John. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
See, I told you, like, before this, I was like, oh, man, I feel like I'm going to fall asleep and my heart rate's slowing down. And
God.
You know what I also picked up is some... Carlson's has vitamin D gems, which have 4,000 IUs of vitamin D, plus a little bit of cod liver oil in it. Oh, man, it just hits the spot. So I did that, and I got some sun this past weekend, which was pretty pretty irregular for Massachusetts in March.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
or just about anywhere in the East Coast.
Yeah, so I took advantage of that. Also, Joe DeFranco, Zach Evanesh. Like, these are Adam Bornstein, who, you know, I'm going to write down a note right now because I meant to email him back yesterday, but I forgot to because I'm, again, trying to do 800 things at once right now. Doing this live. So I'm gonna try to get Adam on. Talk to Adam, and Adam's down for coming on the podcast. And if you don't know Adam, he's from Men's Health, and he writes quite a bit for Men's Health right now. John knows him.
Yep, sort of.
Mention us on his blog.
Oh, that's right. Cool.
Yeah.
So, I did see that.
Yeah. So that's that. Please, any suggestions for guests? Big whiteboard up on my wall. If you have contacts with these people or if you've emailed them before and you want to be like, hey, you know, I think you should try to get on the FitCast, you should email Kevin. His email is kevin@thefitcast.com. Do that too. You know, it's usually easier to do that instead of going through the channels. And some people... You know, it's weird. Like, some people in the industry know the FitCast and they'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to get on them. And other people are like, what's podcasting? You know? So that's that. Let me grab a sip of water. All right. So let's talk about Perform Better, John.
Shall we?
Yeah. So the Perform Better One Day Learn By Doing seminar happened this past weekend. I went on Sunday morning. On Friday, Todd Durkin actually came into the facility at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning, and he talked with the whole staff. He spent 2 hours with us. And first thing I want to say is that if there's, you know, Todd is a guy that you should be checking out everything he puts out. You might know him. He's the strength and conditioning coach of Drew Brees and LaDainian Tomlinson. Pretty big names.
And newly acquired by the New York Jets, in fact.
I don't like the Jets, so I don't think you do either, John, do you? You're a Giants fan, right?
I am a Giants fan, but I do, like, my dad's a Jets fan, so...
Oh, so you're a flip-flopper.
No, I'm a Giants fan, but I can root for the Jets.
All right. So he came in, and I ended up taking, like, literally 5 pages of notes when he was in there. And, let's go over actually what he talked about at the seminar. And I'm not going to give away the whole seminar because obviously that wouldn't be very fair to Todd or to perform better. So I just want to kind of go over what he talked about and kind of give you a kind of insight into the kind of vibe that he has. So here are some of the bigger points or some of the points that stood out most to me. One of the things he said is, one of the things he put in, I should say, is what it takes to be successful in life. And the three things that he listed, training and conditioning, business, and self. And we're going to come back to self. He talked about self quite a bit. Also, one of the questions that he posed to us, both in that staff meeting and at Perform Better, what do your clients love to do? Mm. Think about it. Like, are you doing what your clients love to do? He didn't pose this, but this is what it made me think of. Am I making my clients do what I love to do and not thinking about what they love to do?
Mm-hmm.
Another one, be 1% better. Just 1% better. Today, come in, be 1% better than you were yesterday. Don't try to, do everything at once. Don't try to go from a 100-pound bench to a 200-pound bench in 2 months or like many people, they'll see a program get 50 pounds on your bench in 4 weeks. No, be 1% better tomorrow. Instead of going to 100 pounds, maybe in, 4 weeks, you go up to 105 pounds, or maybe you go up to 115 pounds. Just try to be 1% better. For us that are personal trainers or coaches.
Yeah, by the way, that's 10% you just gave.
Yeah, I understand that, but that's why I was thinking about saying 1 pound per day, but it's not going to really work out like that. So, hey, John, guess what? I can hang up on this call too.
Yeah, and then you'd be the only one on.
That's all right. I got plenty of energy for two people.
That's a good point.
Yeah, they're creating energy. Creating energy in the facility. And he brought up he goes around and he's like he'll just go up to people like, yeah, come on, let's get at it today. Buckle up that chin strap. Let's go. It's game time, let's get ready, let's get 1% better. I'll say that stuff and it'll kind of go around his own facility and it'll get people revved up. You got to make sure that you have that positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, and this is something I haven't really done in the past. Like I've done little things here or there, but he said treating your clients. If giving gifts to your clients, these are people, I start to think about it. I have one client that I mentioned earlier in the show who's been training with me for, let's look at this, 15 months. He's trained with me the last 15 months, and he's probably done between 8 and 10 sessions every single month. So let's say he's done 10 sessions. Let's say he's done 150 sessions since he's been with me. You times that by $75. He spent quite a bit of money on me.
Mm-hmm.
And to get my services, what have I given back to him? Sure, he's lost weight. Sure, he's stronger. But, maybe I should, you got to show him sometimes that you care. You got to, do things like, he's actually really into video games. He's got a PlayStation. One of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to order him a game on Amazon. And I'm going to be like, hey, John, I know you've been talking about this and here, this is for you. This is thank you. Thank you for being, sticking with me these last years and year and a half. You came with me from one facility and you came with me to a new facility. You came with me. Like you literally, you ended your membership one place and you came with me to Mike Boyle's. Like that's, that's awesome. And, also taking care of your people, meaning your staff, even if they're above you or below you, it doesn't matter. Take care of your staff. If they're having a bad day, try to help them out. thank them, thank them for something, thank them or say they did a good job doing something. And also not only take care of your people, take care of you, make sure you have some you time. You know, one of the things that he mentioned is, get up an hour before you go to work, an hour before you have to do anything, spend some time meditating, spend some time, listening to some good music, spend some time just, he made this example and I'm like, wow, that's me. Getting out of bed, stumbling over to the computer and starting to answer emails. Like, that's what I do every morning. And even this morning, I had to wake up at 5:30. And I the night before, I have this iPod Shuffle that is like 3 years old that I've had since college. I never use it. So I loaded up like 20 songs that, are just like songs that will just not necessarily loud and get me pumped up, but songs that I enjoy listening to. And, I can listen to that for 10 minutes. While listening to it, I'll walk downstairs, I'll make my tea and come back upstairs, 10 minutes later, then I'll do the emails and I'll continue to listen to that music to kind of get ready for the day. It's kind of the same idea as the blue light kind of setup.
Mm-hmm.
John, feel free, butt in, talk,
I'm waiting for your a stream of consciousness right now. I'm just sitting back and listening.
All right, we'll finish up with Todd, then we'll kind of, if you want to
do it. Yeah, let's talk about it.
And the last thing from that, and this is just tip of the iceberg. This is 5% of what we went over. The other thing, he said, and then some. Take your client through a great workout and then some, help a friend out and then some, bust your ass training and then some, a little bit extra. It's going back to that 1% better, just a little bit more. And Todd's, says that he loves quotes, and he brought out a lot of quotes, and some of this stuff hit home, and I think some of it is just fantastic. And you can probably hear me flipping through my notes, but some of the great quotes, I'm sorry, I'm flipping through 8 pages. You be the change that you want to see. You're never as good as you think you are. Be humble, be hungry. You can only take a client as far as you've gone, and that hit home. And also, for people, I don't know if he brought this up or if this just popped into my head because I've heard it in the last week or so. And this is something that Jamie Rodriguez that I work with, he's been at Boyle's for a while.
Mm-hmm.
One day I was like, Jamie, have you ever – for some reason some kid was talking about Wendy's. I'm like, oh, yeah, Jamie, you ever been to Wendy's? He's like, no, I don't go to Wendy's. I eat to live. I eat things that are going to make me healthier. I don't junk food's not an option. I eat to live, and maybe sometimes you go out and you have ribs instead of grilled chicken and broccoli, but you don't go to Dunkin' Donuts and get a dozen donuts and then eat that, while watching the Sunday morning news. So that hit home, and I think that's a really, really good quote. So that's Todd's stuff. And again, I really, you guys should check out his newsletter at todddurkin.com. I am not ashamed to say that my head was in the sand with Todd.
I think that, I think something that's pretty cool. I mean, it sounds to me based on your description, I wasn't able to make it this weekend cause I work like an animal. It sounded very much psychologically, kind of inspired, the things that you're talking about. It's all psychology, which is interesting. And you see these waves of presentations and themes. And I think that we've had a lot in terms of performance enhancement and injury prevention, in the last couple of years in terms of the presentations, everyone's doing presentations based on that. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see something like this where we're really, it's the art of personal training. Everyone wants to – I remember an article that Mike Boyle wrote a couple of years ago, I guess, and he was talking about it too in one of his presentations, about the idea of the personal trainer versus the strength coach. Everyone wants to be a strength coach now. No one wants to say they're a personal trainer. So I'm a strength coach. I work with athletes. I work with – oh, come on. You know what I mean?
if you work with one athlete, you're not a strength coach. You just happen to have an athlete, you know.
Exactly.
And I think that a lot of people, it's almost become like a bad word because of the I guess a lack, the perceived lack of professionalism that we all kind of talk about. Oh my God, I saw this personal trainer, they were so bad, and I saw this guy doing this with his client. So no one wants to be associated with that. But instead of running away from the field, let's raise the bar of the field. You know, I was a personal trainer for years. I still am. I mean, I still work with private clients. You know, I worked with athletes too, whatever. You know what I mean? But for the most part, most of us make our living on personal training. And it's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's where the money is. You know,
yeah, it's a great profession, yeah. But let's raise the bar a little. And I think that a lot of what it sounds like what he talked about was exactly that. Like, let's be professionals and let's do things that will motivate our clients to do better. And that was pretty cool. I mean, a couple of thoughts. You know, what do your clients love to do? My God, I mean, I see that a lot where trainers are giving them their favorite workouts, not their clients' favorite workouts. And I think that there's a fine line there. I mean, you are the expert as the trainer. You should be motivating your clients to do good things, you know, so things that you believe are better for them. So if you don't believe in using a lot of machines and the client only wants to use machines, then it's up to you to educate the client. But at the same time, there's nothing wrong with giving them a machine. If it makes them happy and it'll motivate them and you know they'll work twice as hard on that thing, keep it in there. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, and I think, you know, personal trainers, a lot of them, based on like marketing hype or whatever, you know, forget that they're also providing a service. They're not, you know, it's almost like this kind of, I'm the expert, you'll do as I say, or you just find another trainer. And it's like, you know what? You don't have to be that much of a hard ass either. And you can make those compromises and realize that it's a lot of hype too. You know what? A machine bench press probably isn't going to kill your client. You know, so taking it back that step and realizing how important that psychological motivation is and how far that can go in getting your clients into their goals. I mean, I think that's way worth it. 1% better, couldn't agree more. Like, just do a little. It's over time. You know, a lot of times I think as trainers, we get clients that kind of come in and say, well, I've got to lose, you know, 10 pounds in a month. So what can you do for me? And it's like, okay, that might be the case, but let's also talk about the long term. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you have a wedding to go to, maybe it is your wedding, whatever it is. So, okay, we've got a goal, but what happens after that? You know, where are we going for the long term? And for the long term, 1% each time, you know, if you work out twice a week, you know, and you gave 1% better each time, you'd be significantly stronger by the end of the year. And that's a long-term goal. And I think that people get caught up in the glamour of, oh, I lost, you know, so much weight in so short a period of time, and they forget that this should be a lifelong experience. And goals like that are realistic, they're achievable, and they will keep you moving in the right direction for a long, long time. So that was pretty cool. Treating your clients just like you said also, I mean, it doesn't have to be gifts. It doesn't have to be – it can be as simple as dropping them an email saying, hey, you did a great job this week.
Or yeah, that was another one he said, you know, text your clients, you know, stay in contact with your clients and, yep. And you know, make them know that you care.
Yeah, give them those little personal touches because let's face it, like as the majority of personal trainers, we don't have a ton of money. You know, we're not – it's not a lucrative business for most of us. So I think that getting creative, you know, and doing little things that keep them motivated and keep them happy. There's research, at least in physical therapy. I don't know that I've ever seen anything in personal training, but I can't believe that it's not the same. Patient's experience is based enormously on how they feel about their physical therapist, not necessarily even the outcome of the physical therapy.
And like, I'm not trying to joke, but you know, like Patch Adams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's exactly right. And so stuff like that can go a long way to keeping a client motivated and coming back for more and more, which is good for both of you. You know, I mean, you know, you want your – as a trainer, you want your clients to continue coming back to you. And also as a trainer, you want them coming back to you so that they can also achieve their goals because there's nothing worse than a client that quits. So, you know, if they're happy with you, if they feel that you're on their side and that you're – you know, you want their success as much as they want it, and sometimes, quite frankly, it's even more, they're going to keep coming back. I mean, results do speak, but that kind of personal touch can really go a long way into keeping them happy and motivated and getting their goals. So,
And again, like I'm literally scratching the surface with all that, and I think it's, you know, it's helped me. Like I literally have pages of ideas that came from that presentation. I had a great conversation with Mike about it and emailing about all that stuff. And you know, he also talked about time management. Well, we're not going to get into that, but I really, 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 really recommend you check out his website, ToddDurkin.com. And if you want to check out his facility, I think it's FitnessQuest10.com. It's called Fitness Quest 10 out in San Diego. So really recommend you check that out. All right. That's going to be the longest out of the four presenters, which I should say also included Gray Cook, Thomas Plummer, and Mike Boyle. Thomas Plummer, probably the odd one out of the bunch, you'd say.
He's awesome to listen to, though.
He is. And it's, you know, he ended up fitting perfectly. So with Gray Cook, man, I haven't seen Gray talk since I went to perform better in the hellish snowstorm of 2008, I think it was. And the it's really a shame. Like, it's Gray's awesome, and he's very much like I think how Jeff Foxworthy relates to everyone, or how like he's very inviting. And I don't like Jeff Foxworthy very much, but I like Gray Cook.
No, because great segue.
But he's not making redneck jokes. You know, he says like, yeah, you know, well, since I'm a dumb redneck and I try to use big words. I don't use big words. So, you know, I'm just going to use these small words. And I, you know, uses all these analogies that, you know, help make sense, because a lot of people in the crowd, you know, they don't, you know, not to say that this is a huge learning tool, but, you know, I know people do learn from this show. Like, a lot of people don't know about this. They don't, like, they know about Mike because of a book that they saw, but they don't know who Gray Cook is. They don't know who Todd Durkin is, etc. You know, they're seeing these people for the very first time. So he, you know, a couple of things I just want to pull out from his seminar. And obviously, if you don't know, is the one of the co-creators of the Functional Movement Screen, and it's something that I use to screen all my personal training clients and athletes. It's it. The more I use it, the better I like it as a test. And it's kind of some of the things that he said that is starting to make things click a little bit. But he talked about the difference between the soft core and the hard core, and we'll talk about that again in a couple minutes. But you know, he mentioned also like are we talking about like muscle fascia, and how, you know, you have this hard core, you know, which we train with planks. You know, you have those people that say they can do 3 minutes side planks. Say they're training the hardcore. You know, the soft core is the stuff that, you know, if you're doing a single arm, single legged, not necessarily a bird dog, but you'd be doing the same arm and the same leg on one side. It's one of It's one of the assessments that they use in the FMS. We're very unstable. You know, he said that, you know, that's part of the soft core. When you go up on, you know, one leg and you do something, it's part of the soft core. And one of the analogies he uses is that babies crawl before they side plank, and they kind of get that movement pattern before they side plank. And, you know, we never go back to retraining ourselves that crawling motor pattern. So the, I don't know, for some reason that hit home, and I'm actually going to pull up. And one of the things I'm going to quickly mention, you know, I went to this, and you know, you get a handout with all the PowerPoint printouts. Mm-hmm. I find that I do so much better taking notes if I don't even look at that. I just bring like a separate notebook and I take notes on what like I think actually stands out. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise you're kind of overwhelmed with information. But he, again, you know, some of the things like fix the hardware, not the pattern. So, So fix the hardware, not the software. You know, it's kind of that mentality. And deal with the weakest links, not the imperfections. When we assess, he said, when we assess, we go overboard. So, you know, you'll assess ankle mobility, you'll assess shoulder impingement, you'll assess dorsiflexion, plantar flexion, internal rotation, external rotation at the hip. You'll look at anterior and posterior pelvic tilt issues. You'll look at shoulder range of motion. You'll look at thoracic mobility. You'll look at lumbar stability. Like, you look at all this stuff, you know, you can have a list of 30 things that aren't perfect with someone. But, you know, maybe you instead of like having this list of 30 things and trying to do it all at once, you first look at the things that are the weakest links, the things that are going to cause them the most issues, and you know, fix the movement patterns before you start, you know, throwing weight on their back and stuff like that. Well, you know, a lot of the stuff that guys, people already know, but it's good to hear again, and it's good to kind of be like, yeah, you know, maybe I took that client, you know, back to doing like rear foot elevated lunges a little too early, or, you know, man, maybe I shouldn't do barbell bench press with any of my personal training clients, you know. But then I go back to the Todd Durkin stuff. What do your clients love to do? I have a client that loves to bench and he's healthy and he wants to bench. He literally comes in and be like, yeah, are we benching today? Like, yeah, man, we're benching today. And, you know, he gets pumped up for that. So I still kind of go on a battle on both sides with that. But I think that's all I'm going to mention from the Great Cook stuff. And all, like, really good. And I keep going back to the part. I think people thought I, like, bashed the functional movement screen a couple months ago. And this is while I was working at Boyle's and using it, because I thought it was too general. But when he puts things that way, you know, it starts to make a lot more sense why he set it up the way he did. So, like, looking at what is the worst movement pattern and fixing that, and I think, you know, a great quote he said from runners, and I know if you're a runner out there, I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but he says, you know, runners out there are just like, you know, give me the ibuprofen. I'm running. It's good for me. You know, I'm just going to do it even if it hurts. So I thought that was cool. That's a good quote. And I think that is it. And do more chops and lifts. Take home points. Do more chops and lifts on the cables. Don't need one of the Cook bars either. You can just use like a rope. And also he says, you know, for PTs, you know, he would find that, you know, he'd get someone through physical therapy and they'd be fine. They'd be back from the injury. Like, you have two people that – I think the analogy that he used that was awesome is, you know, you have two people that have identical fractures in their femurs, okay? Identical fractures. They go through the identical rehab. Once they're done, you know, they've got that strength. They have that ankle mobility back after getting out of the cast. You know, they've rebuilt up the strength in like rectus femoris and their quads, and you know, they're able. But you know, when one still walks out of the facility, one has a limp and one doesn't. And why? You know, why does that happen? He says, you know, people need to functional movement screen after they're done with therapy to see, you know, maybe we didn't necessarily work, maybe we kind of fix the underlying we fixed the problem but we didn't fix the underlying issue, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. So I thought you might like that, John.
Yeah, which I don't think is done nearly enough in PT, and some of it is because of the lack of training of physical therapists for that, and other parts are strictly an insurance issue where we don't always have as much time as we would possibly like to have. You know, the fact of the matter is insurance companies don't care about that. And it's as much to do with the lack of solid research in actually saying that those things will then lead to something else down the line, because it's very difficult to prove. When you're a personal trainer or you're working with a non-insurance-based kind of client or patient, you may have the opportunity to do that stuff and working on what the theory
holds, which is probably a pretty decent theory, although it's very difficult in general to do research like that. I mean, you're really just kind of following someone for 10 or even 15 years to see what happens in terms of injuries. And there's just so much that can happen to an individual that it's very difficult to do that. But they do short-term studies with athletes a lot of times, but it's really hard to do that to bring that out into the public. So that's some of the problems with the way that we manage healthcare. And it's not just inherent to healthcare, it's actually inherent to how we gather information. You can't always trust theory, because theory has been wrong plenty of times. But then on the other hand, you can't overlook the theory, because sometimes that's the best that we've got to go on. So I agree with that. I mean, I think that it's a very difficult place to be as a physical therapist, because you want to do the right thing and make sure that they walk out as best as possible. Sometimes it's very difficult to justify it, though. And you can always, I mean, it's something that Bill said to me very early on. He said, you'll never be able to pick up everything, and you'll always be able to pick up something. You know, so it becomes the issue of where do you actually go? How much do you actually look for, and where do you stop looking? Because sometimes, just like Gray kind of said there, you know, find the weakest link, but not necessarily the imperfection, because sometimes the imperfections just take care of themselves. You know, sometimes you may have some hip mobility issues, but just practicing your squats and learning how to squat properly, you will get more mobile because of that. You know, just a general flexibility routine. You don't have to go crazy trying to improve these small details, because sometimes it just works itself out. So typically what I've always done, you know, if we're assessing someone's squat form or whatever, you just pick the one or two big issues, because they're never going to be able to sort through every little thing that you pick up. You pick up the big issues, you know, keep your spine neutral, or lead with your hips instead of your knees, and everything else is going to kind of take care of itself. Or once they get that right, then you can work on the smaller details. But a lot of times people go a little overboard. I agree completely. They name 5,000 things wrong in an attempt to kind of sound smart, maybe, and the client walks away going, holy crap, I'm totally broken. And it's not necessarily true. And the last thing you want to do is demotivate a client by making them think, I'm so screwed up that I don't even know how I'd start. You know, one thing about babies crawl before they side plank, it's true, but they also turn over before they crawl. So just wanted to throw that out there, because there is an aspect of the side plank there. I think in general, though, I wanted to ask you what you were talking about in terms of, you know, going back to the basics, like the crawling and stuff. What did he talk about there? I was just curious.
Bear with me for a second, and I'll give you some quotes from the PowerPoint. Again, I apologize. He's a very fast talker, and he flies through the slides.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I would say, without putting words in his mouth, I think the basic patterns are a good idea, but I think only if they actually apply to anything that you're really doing. That's my personal take on it. You know, teaching someone to crawl is great if they're, I don't know, a plumber or something and have to be on their hands and knees all day. But if you're dealing with an office worker, I don't know what the benefit of actually going through that motion. But again, I don't know that Gray actually said that. I think that ultimately, I think that's kind of what the functional movement screen is about. It's about kind of general things, you know, general movements. And now the functional movement screen does have a certain amount of literature behind it. And I know that they're doing a lot of research to validate the functional movement screen, which is good. That's what we need. In some sense, because we don't have an extraordinary amount of research just yet to back that up, in some ways you can kind of, you know, and I'm sure that anyone that uses a functional movement screen, including Gray Cook, would kill me for saying it, but you can kind of use anything that you want as a functional movement screen at this point, because we don't have enough evidence to suggest that there's something special about the exercises that they provided. I mean, I always use a squat and a deadlift as part of my assessment, because I want to see if the client can do it, you know, because I know I'm going to be using those exercises, and I know that they use them in the real world. They bend over and pick things up from the floor, you know? So I want to know that my clients can do that, because they're going to use it time and time again. It goes back to what is the person's function. Use fun exercises, use things to give them a variety of movement patterns, and to teach them how to posture and position themselves in different, you know, physical stressors. but also at the same time, give consideration to what they actually need to do. So, you know what? I definitely will give a client a single arm dumbbell stability ball fly for fun and games at the end to teach them how to stabilize in weird situations. But I'm not going to make it the forefront of my training program if that has nothing to do with anything that they do in the day. It'll be a little filler at the end for something that'll just be fun for them to do and challenging. You know what I mean? Kind of going back again to what Todd Durkin said. So I would say that would be my advice, but I wasn't there, so I didn't hear what Gray actually – the details of what he said.
So I'm going to – let's just wait until we get Graham because it's not even in the notes. He was just talking like offhand at the beginning.
Yeah.
So I don't want to misquote him or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And my hands are shaking, so I can't read the pages.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, let's move on to the next presenter, Thomas Plummer, who presented on the evolution of trainers. One of the take-home points, and you know, one of the reasons why we... I apologize for saying you know a lot. Do you know that, John?
I know.
It's the caffeine. So Thomas Plummer talked about evolution of trainers, and one of the big things is that he wanted to kind of get through is, you know, you guys are, you know, hearing your day off. You know, everyone's like, oh, you're hearing your day off. You're investing in yourself. But, you know, you're doing what you love. And I want you to write this at the top of your page. And anyone who's out there who's thinking about getting into this, because I know you get, some people have emailed me about wanting to get into this industry and thinking about making career changes at 30, 40 years old. It's because of this. It's because, you know, you change lives. And he said, write down, we change lives in all caps. Because at the end of the day, we don't make quite a bit, you know, all things considered, especially personal trainers and like non-elite level strength coaches. We don't make quite a bit. Hence why I'm working at the prospect of actually moving down into my parents' basement at 24 years old. Because I just don't think... you know, apartments are perfect at this time. And so that was one big thing. And, you know, I think one of the other take home points is for some of those trainers, I don't mean to knock the trainers that were there, but you know, some of them come from commercial gyms and I'm sure some of them have thrown people on circuit training set up before, or they just have them do the round of machines and then do that three times while they count reps for them. He said, how can you give someone a program you know is going to fail them in 6 weeks? Another thing that he said that I put a question mark next to, he said, train your clients like athletes. And Todd Durkin brought this up too, train your clients like athletes. I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, to a certain extent, I see where they're coming from. You know, you do those athletic patterns. You do, you know, you can do sled pushes. Athletes do sled pushes, kettlebell swings. I'm not going to clean with my personal training clients.
Mm-hmm.
That's something an athlete does. You know, I'm not going to – I don't have any of my clients do any serious plyo metrics unless it's applicable to them and there's some reason they should be doing it, because I – you know, when I have 1 hour with someone – or they end up showing up at 6, you know, 3 o'clock, and I have 1 hour with them, and they, you know, still have to warm up for 15 minutes. Now I have 45 minutes with them. Am I going to spend 5 minutes of those doing plyometrics, trying to get them a 30-inch vert, or am I going to help them lose some weight? You know, maybe we can get that vertical by just doing some of the training itself. That will that'll just be a side benefit, but... He said, train your clients like athletes, and then I wrote down myself to what extent. So I think that's something I still want to talk about, and I still want to, like, I would love to talk to Todd about, and I want to talk to Mike about. I want to bring that up. I want to bring it up in the meeting, but I also want to talk to Mike about this on the podcast because I want you guys to hear the answer. You know, training your clients like athletes. Like,
yeah.
I think about that, man. Like, you know, just, like, I just don't know how I feel about that.
Mm-hmm. I think that
I mean, obviously, don't baby them,
right?
Also, you don't want to go balls to the walls?
I think that it just depends on how far you take that. I mean, I believe in training a client like an athlete, but I say that meaning with a specific purpose. You know, we train
like doing multi-joint exercise and not having them do like
not even like breaking down what they actually have to accomplish in life.
Gotcha.
You know, so for an athlete, like, because saying that you're going to train an athlete doesn't mean anything either, because you could be talking about a football player or a squash player. They're both athletes. You know what I mean? So you're going to train them very differently, and there might be a few things that carry over for both of them, or a few major concepts that carry over for both of them. But the overall workout, unless we're talking about the most basic level, is going to be completely different. So, but you know, at the same time, they have a warm up, they have sports specific drills, and they have a strength training component, and then they probably have, you know, plyometrics and things like that. Well, if we look at it like a personal training client, they have a warm-up. They'll have specific drills that you'll probably have them do. It could be part of the warm-up, or it could be something like, you know, oh, you sit at a desk all day, so I'm going to have you do some scapular exercises to start or to finish, just to undo that. You do the same thing for an athlete, you know, and then they're going to have specific strength training stuff or whatever, and then conditioning stuff. Instead of the plyo, it's conditioning, but maybe you add – very low level plyo kind of stuff, like jumping rope is a plyo. You can have a client do that, you know, doing Turkish get ups or kind of circuit training kind of stuff for like a metabolic, you know, weight loss kind of argument, same kind of ideas. So that's what I think of when I think of training a client like an athlete. Just means it's the mentality. It's the work that goes into actually breaking down what that person needs to accomplish in order to be good at what it is that they do. But I agree with you, Kev. I'm not sending my, you know, 45-year-old office worker into doing box jumps and depth jumps and things like that. That's just kind of pointless.
Yeah, and I should really point out that that is not what goes on in Mike Ball's training industry. Like, I just am afraid that people will take that to the literal sense.
Yeah.
You know, if they don't know – you know, if they don't know exactly what they're talking about, like he had, Todd had a video of one guy who was, and I think it is actually really good because it gets people to, you know, competition becomes a big thing, especially people that were former athletes. I think they're going to latch on to training like that more than they're going to be like doing a quote unquote fat loss workout. They're going to have a lot more fun doing stuff that they remember doing.
Right.
You know, stuff they think is, you know, cool. God, what did people do 20 years ago? I wasn't born yet. I don't know. Jumping on mini trampolines or... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's all I remember. And it was from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. So anyways, where was I? I don't know where I was going with that. But
then again, and having said all of that, then we can go back and talk about, you know, what was mentioned before, which is basically, you know, do what your clients like. And if your clients are old, you know, they were high school athletes and want to get back into that kind of shape, it's your job to be able to get them there safely. And then maybe, again, educate them and say, okay, well, we're not going to be able to get you back on the field, but maybe we can kind of train you like you were getting ready to, you know, making those, you know, kind of compromises and saying what's good for the client in comparison to what do they want to do. Sometimes that's complimentary, sometimes it's not, but it's your job to do your best for them, whatever that means. And letting them have fun and have certain goals is part of that job. So you never know.
Yeah, no, but again, I think it's the best thing about this is it gets us thinking. It's getting me thinking a lot. You know, it allows me to talk to John. It allows me to bring this question up to Mike and ask him. And I think it's, if anything, raising questions is fantastic, and raising questions should be encouraged.
Right, because we don't have answers to them. That's why this field is still fun.
That gets a great transition or segue to my next point. He brought up the thing, you know, we're returning to where we were 150 years ago, kettlebell training.
Yeah.
You know, what are these? I can't remember. I'm going to have to look up the name of it real quick, but there's these things that look like bowling pins.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what those are? Here we go. It's from the 1930s. They're called, And he even showed a cover of a magazine of a woman holding these things. Damn, what were they called? I didn't write it down. But he said, you know, we kind of went on the wrong path in the 1970s because of Arnold stuff, and now we're jumping back on track. He showed awesome pictures of quote-unquote personal trainers. The best picture is of someone spotting a dumbbell bench press with their hands on their triceps as they're in that elbow bent at 90-degree angle, which is a fantastic place to spot. You know, you don't just just so in case you want to push those dumbbells. And unfortunately, JP was in this of JP Fitness, but he was doing a lunge with a med ball rotation, which I haven't seen that picture before, but I think it's awesome, dude. JP's on all over the place. Awesome dude. But he showed in 2010, we're returning to what we worked for 150 years ago, and he showed Steve Cotter doing kettlebell stuff. A book by Lorna Kleinman about body sculpting with kettlebells for women. And you know, you go into a health facility and there's six kettlebells, or you go to like where I used to work and I had to buy the kettlebells and I kept them in the office because they cost me $400 and I didn't want people taking them.
Right.
Now there's actually facilities that are the company TSI that is Town Sports International, which is Boston Sports Club, New York Sports Club, Washington Sports Club, or DC Sports Club, whatever it is. And they're actually building brand new facilities. Like TSI is making one new facility that's it's like a CrossFit facility from what it looked like with the videos that he showed me, which has stuff that is, you know, is cool, and it's things that people want to do to train. Man, I unfortunately don't have the name of that thing, but I'm sure I'll find out and I'll tell you guys next week. But he talks about different types of clients. I apologize. I couldn't find that in the handout. But what else did I write down? And I think that's about it from Thomas Plummer. Again, I want to give you guys – I know you guys – some of you are personal trainers, but not a lot of you are. So I want to I want to keep this as applicable to everyone.
But I do – yeah. But I do think that I agree completely. I mean, there's a place for everything. You know, people – again, it's always like this – you know, an idiot's guide to keeping your temperature in your house. It's like it happens all the time with the industry. So it's like you walk in, the house is too cold, you jack up the thermostat to 90, and then you go, oh my God, it's way too hot. So then you jack it down to 50, and it just swings back and forth like that instead of just putting it somewhere in the middle. You know, a lot of these techniques that we developed in the 70s or the 80s are still good enough techniques. I mean, should we use machines all the time? Absolutely not. But can you throw one in once in a while? Yeah, sure, whatever. You know what I mean? There's some that I'd prefer over others, but you don't necessarily have to eliminate them from your bag of tricks. You can use them. This crap about isolation, which I was absolutely on a bandwagon, never isolate, never, never, why even bother? That's stupid too. You know, like, I mean, there's a time and place for an isolation exercise. There's the opportunity to use it to get better at something. You know, you want big arms, do some biceps curls, why not? You know, no big deal. And then the same thing is like Russian kettlebells and that, and the cool stuff, flipping tires and using, you know, the heavy ropes and things like that. All that, you know, it's all good stuff.
I'm laughing because Todd Durkin was training on Friday at the facility, and it was one of my upper body days. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna finish with some arms. So it was awesome. I got caught doing not only easy bar bicep curls by Mike and Todd, but also doing tricep extensions. So that's
awesome.
I don't have a job anymore is what I'm trying
to say. No, and I'd make fun of you too if I saw you, but it really wouldn't matter. No, but you know, I mean,
that's the best part about Mike and, you know, where I work is I back squat.
Yeah, right.
And it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
I will get, you know, my, what's it called? Get my chops busted, but that's awesome. Like, yeah. I'm Mike Boyle's busting my chops about back squatting or doing bicep curls. Like, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know what? And exactly right. So it's like, you know, don't forget the stuff that we have. You know, the opportunities that you have in the gym and the things that you can use. Use everything. Be creative. You know what? I wouldn't do a Smith machine squat. I wouldn't do it, you know. But that doesn't mean that all machines are evil, therefore. Or I wouldn't necessarily be having an arms day as part of my workout. But that doesn't mean that I won't finish off with some biceps curls or something, you know. So instead of taking something to the extreme, use it for when it's appropriate and use it towards your goals. And otherwise, you know, at the same time, like, is it going to hurt you to have 2 weeks of like, you know, chest and back and arms and legs day, 6 day routine for like 3 weeks, just to throw something in there, make it different for yourself and, you know, have some fun with your workouts. I don't see a problem with that either. As long as, you know, the exercises are relatively good. And as long as your goal is general, you know, general weight loss or muscle gain or whatever. But I wouldn't use that kind of approach all the time because I think that there are probably better ways. But, you know, one of our famous quotes that we like throwing around is the best workouts are the ones you're not doing. And I think that's probably true to some extent. You know, change and variety for the sake of change and variety are not only good psychologically, but they can be good physiologically. So as long as you don't throw out everything that you've learned, and as long as you're still basically adhering to what we think is the better ways of training, there's nothing wrong with that stuff. And I think that in the past, I'll be the first to admit it, I've been a hard ass like that and been like, no, you've got to do full body or you've got to do that, you know, and that's not true. And I think that I've softened over the last year or two and seen the potential for a lot of different things. And even going back to things that I used to do 10 years ago and thinking like, wow, I'm in pretty good shape back then. You know, for all the things that I quote unquote know now, I still had a pretty decent idea of what I was doing even back then. And I was having some pretty good results, either by sheer dumb luck or just the fact that I was working pretty hard. So, you know, and I, you know, enjoy going back to those techniques every once in a while, just for a little bit of a change and something I get to do a little differently. So I think, you know, there's more that's legitimate than not legitimate at this point, especially in terms of what we know and don't know, because we basically know nothing. So, you know, have a ball, use lots of good stuff.
Absolutely. And lastly was Mike Boyle, who presented on, I want to get, it was presented on warming up. I want to get the name of it corrected, preparing a workout. So the stuff that Mike generally talked about was warming up, you know, why we warm up, the joint by joint approach, which is, if you haven't read the article, joint by joint approach to training, it will blow your mind pretty much. And it will make things will make so much more sense. When I read that in college, I was just like, wow, so this is the Rosetta Stone that I was looking for, kind of a thing. And it just helped a lot of things fall into place. And talked a little bit about, you know, why we warm up. So I'm talking about 3D mobility for the hamstrings and for the ankles. And it was just tons of video on warm-ups that people can do. Also going into hip rotators and hip internal rotation, and how I think we talked about a couple weeks ago about how I, you know, had that constant hip pinching, and the one thing that fixed it over everything else was a knee-to-knee stretch focusing on hip internal rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, something that simple fixed something that was bothering me for a year. And he thinks, you know, one of the things that we're going to be seeing down the line is how we have glenohumeral internal rotation deficits. We're going to have, mm-hmm. we're going to be looking at hip internal rotation deficits. So we're going to have HERD instead of GERD, which is cool. And just a lot of cool stuff, understanding hip flexion. I'm just flipping through the pages right now, and I think the best stuff about Mike is he's very, if you ever seen him present, he's like, he'll just show you stuff with his body. Like, he'll show you, you'll see someone doing this and they're trying to do this, and this is why we do this, which is really cool. He kind of just went down the list of that joint by joint approach and basically what we do at Boyles in terms of a warm up for not only our personal training clients but also our athletes. And you know, why is it important to do three different variations of a lunge in the lateral warm up? You know, why is that mm-hmm. important? So very cool stuff, and it's all included in the Functional Strength Coach 3.0 DVD set. Sorry. But no, it is. And that's I wrote a review of it, and that was one of the best parts about it. So that's it. That's performed better. I ended up having to leave before the learn by doing section. So I didn't learn by doing. I learned by learning.
Mm.
Wow, so that's about an hour, John.
Yeah. Good times, good stuff.
I feel satisfied, so let's wrap it up. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay. So, again, that's a Perform Better seminar for this year. And if you guys have any questions about anything I talked about, send it in. Send it to questions@thefitcast.com. Send it to me personally at kevin@thefitcast.com. Send it to john@ineverwriteblogpost.com.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like we mentioned in the beginning of the show, get in on Twitter, Facebook, reviews on iTunes, quote-unquote positive reviews on iTunes. What else did we mention? Oh, you're getting a free t-shirt, Val Slides, or a TRX gift certificate. And I'm sure there's some other stuff that I really should do this more often. I should reach out to the people that come on the show and see if we can get some free stuff to give away to you guys. And that's my fault. And I think we should do that more. So maybe when we have Nick Tumanel on next week, I'll see if we can get some of his DVDs to give away, which are fantastic. Awesome. Awesome stuff from Nick Tumanello. And wait, my heart just stopped for a second. Hold on. All right, it's going again. And I think that's it. Please make sure to check out thefitcast.com. Like I said, subscribe through iTunes. Let people know about the podcast. I am going to be looking for these. I'm going to be looking for them on Facebook. If you're not my friend on Facebook, add me as your friend on Facebook. If you're not following me on Twitter, follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/KevinLarrabee or @KevinLarrabee, however they say it. Same thing on YouTube. It's youtube.com/TheFitCast. We have tons, like over 150 videos or something like that on there, featuring Tony Gentilcore as well and Brian St. Pierre. No John Fass.
Mm.
What else? I think that's it. And again, at kevinlarrabee.com, I have three blogs done in the queue for next week. So there's going to be a bunch of stuff going up there, including some more in-depth coverage of the Perform Better seminar. And I'm going to be writing some articles for wannabebig.com. And I think...
Oh, yeah, me too.
Are you?
I think, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Oh, cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. And yeah, we'll talk about that. And
yeah, I forgot to tell you.
Cool. I forgot to tell you.
Nice.
So, John, what are you doing this week?
Working.
I'm just kidding. Of course. And I feel like I'm leaving some out. And again, that one other spot got taken for the online personal training, but there's still one slot available, so I'm capping it off. It's really at the point, but I'm having so much fun doing this. Like, I love it. Did we talk about it? I don't know if you and I talked about it. Oh yeah, John, you talked about it, that, you know, people who do the online training tend to have like a little bit, not necessarily more motivation to get results, but they're kind of like almost more invested into it.
Yeah, and I think it's probably because the average
online trainee
has probably been doing it for a while.
Yeah.
So it's probably a self-selection issue, but you know, it's a very different experience. Like, a lot of times a personal trainer gets the new clientele, people that aren't sure of their, you know, how to exercise and stuff. Then you get this kind of middle group, which I think the majority of people fall into, which is, I know what I'm doing, I'm getting good results, and I'm going to stay there. And then I think that you either of them might go fall into the latter category, which is I've been doing the same thing for years, and now I need an expert to take me to that next level. Sometimes you get that in person, and then a lot of times I think you can get that online as well. So that's probably the reason why. I mean, that's just self-selection. The longer that person's been exercising, the more likely that they're pretty dedicated and committed to it. So,
and I want to say we got an email about that, but we'll get into all the mailbag stuff. We'll have a gigantic mailbag next week to catch up on all that. And maybe we have voicemails too. And I've been meaning to do the voicemail thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you eating, John?
No.
Just clickety-clacketing?
Clickety-clacketing on the computer.
Rickety-racketing.
Yep.
So, oh, and also I'm going to have a new single coming out from Def Jam Records, if you didn't hear about that already.
Oh, awesome.
So check that out. Available on iTunes. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. And until John, Pink Dumble Award. Oh, because it's going to go to me this week, right?
Oh, my God. Just for that, no. You get the fail award.
Get the fail award. Wow, that's a
good
joke. You get
the fail award because you're a fail. You're a walking fail.
I'm thinking about buying a t-shirt that has speakers in it and plays my own theme music. We'll see you next week, everyone. I'm not kidding. It's $30. I gotta buy it. I can have the Back to the Future theme playing in the background as I walk down the street.
Good times.
Or just the power of love.
It's the power of love.
See you next week. Sober Core. It's alright, there's music playing. People can barely hear us.
Oh, that's cool.
Alright, we're in the off topic. It's Sunday. John and Kevin. John, I watched Tron this past week for the first time.
For the first time?
I saw bits and pieces when I was a kid, but the new trailer for Tron Legacy had got me jazzed up, plus the acquisition of an arcade machine made me very arcadey for the week, so.
Very good.
I watched it on Monday morning, actually, before going into work.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that was awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty much awesome.
And now, for some reason, I'm on a Jeff Bridges thing, so I decided to watch Starman, which is another movie from the 80s, which I never saw.
Great movie. Great movie.
There's about 30 minutes left before you got on Skype. So, and just to let you know, since that microphone is, like, right under your keyboard.
Yeah, you can hear every little typing.
It's like beep, bop, boop, 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 boop. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're typing on an electronic keyboard for the future.
Oh, that's kind of cool, because I am. I got a new Apple.
Uh-oh.
MacBook Pro.
Dude, we're both pros now together.
Nice.
All right. What else is going on? What's it? Fast Forward is back, and the guy who wants to figure out who farted, 40 days from now is still looking for that answer.
Yeah. I'm starting to get a little disillusioned with Fast Forward.
That show sucks.
Yeah.
I gave it another shot. That two-hour premiere, they basically said everything that we told you was wrong. They're rebooting the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was actually – I enjoyed the episode, but it is a little bit of a – I mean, it's not – it's – I don't know. It's starting to lose its luster.
Yeah. What else off topic wise? I got God of War 3 and Battlefield Bad Company 2. I played about 30 minutes of each, which is pretty much all I've had the time for in the last week. Mm-hmm. And God of War looks good. Battlefield is a shooting game. So
I actually just picked up a Bionic Commando because that was one of my favorite games from the NES, and it was like $20. So I was like, screw it. Even if it sucks, who cares?
Yeah, I would. If I were you, go on PSN. They have this thing called Bionic Commando Rearmed.
Mm-hmm.
It will basically blow your mind. You should buy that like immediately and don't play the other game.
Really?
It's fantastic.
Huh. Is it an upgrade or what is it?
It's the original game redone with 3D graphics and the soundtrack is absolutely amazing. I actually listened to like half of it when I left.
No kidding.
It's really, really, really good.
Because that game was awesome when I was a kid.
No,
I loved that game.
It's really dope. And that reminds me, I got Perfect Dark on Xbox Live this week too, which is a re, it's like all redone with updated graphics, but it's the same game of from N64 days.
Hmm.
So that's cool. Going to PAX this Friday.
Where?
Penny Arcade Expo.
Oh, yes, of course.
With the Roger Lawson of RogerLawFitness.com.
Mm.
So that's cool.
Oh, yeah, look at that. I'm looking at a screenshot. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Bionic Commando rearmed really, really good.
Yeah.
I think that's it, man. I was really close to buying another arcade machine, but my parents won't let me get one.
Mm.
So there was an NBA Jam Tournament Edition machine for $200.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, yeah. That's like almost a week of my pay. So I can't, so I can't really. I was like, yeah, it's probably best that I don't buy an NBA Jam machine. And not to mention, like, I haven't even had time to play Street Fighter, so.
Mm. Street Fighter's cool.
It is. It is pretty cool. But that's it. And I'm going to watch The Big Lebowski for the first time ever tonight. Again, going on my Jeff Bridges thing.
Right.
Never seen that, so that looks pretty good.
Not, I know I'm in the minority or the unpopular opinion, but I really hated that movie.
You did?
Yeah, wasn't a fan of The Big Lebowski. Gotcha. I actually think that I turned it off. I was really disappointed.
Was it just like...
I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Not funny?
I don't know. I mean, and I know people like love that movie and swear by it.
Does it have like a lot of drug references? Because I never get into those movies.
Possibly. I don't think that I watched enough of it to even recognize it.
Like, you know that the only movie I liked that was like that was what's that movie about all those high school kids and the paddles and it's got Matthew McConaughey in it from what? The 80s or something.
Oh, Dazed and Confused. Oh, amazing movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Amazing. I remember, like, randomly pulling that. My brother has this huge thing of movies when I was a kid. And I just, like, randomly decided to watch that, like, no knowledge of the movie whatsoever and really, really liked it. oh, guess what? Tiger Woods is going to talk today at 7:30. No one cares.
Saw that. Yeah.
No one, oh, my God. And Joe Mauer just got a 8-year, $184 million contract. That's, like, 20-something million a year.
What do you want? How much?
8 years at $184 million. So it's about 21, I guess.
22.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. This off topic is horrible.
Yeah, almost 23. All right. My God.
We're going to record the show because the show is going to be really good this week.
Yeah. That's a crappy off topic. What are we doing?
Dude, I've had two spikes today. Give me a fucking break.
That you need to keep. I hope you didn't hit the cancel button on the record, because that was perfect.
I guess you're just going to have to find out.
Mm.